B-Pod Studios.
Mike Messinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Messinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. Home remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Messinelli Show. We are live and broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, on radio and television. You know, I might be, I'm back from a trip to from the Rocky Mountains, right? And I might be a little ubats, as we say in Italian today, which means a little, you know, goofy, whatever, because I took a red eye to get back to the show. So I got on the flight in Denver last night at 1:05 a.m. Denver time, which means it's 3:05 Philadelphia time. So my clock is way off. And it's either that or the crap load of bud that I smoked when I was in Colorado and the gummies that I ate.
Mike!
That was just a joke. Sunday night, I'm laying around and I get a text from my buddy Fred. And he says, your coach stinks. And I'm going, my coach stinks. Who can he be talking about? Because I didn't. Here he meant Gabe Kapler, the manager. And I go, oh, yeah? And he goes, yeah, the Phillies just got swept 3 straight by the Marlins. And I go, ah, that's a funny joke. That didn't really happen when I was away, did it? Tyrone?
Yeah, it happened.
Did it happen? Seriously? The Phillies get swept by the Marlins? And now I've lost 7 in a row?
Yep.
Seriously?
Seriously, it happened.
All right, well,
worst team in the NL.
First of all, let me just say that it's nearly impossible to lose 7 in a row and get swept by a bad team like the Marlins, unless you're a bad team yourself. So I started to think, are the Phillies really a bad team? I mean, this is what I want to discuss today, because we can go in all kinds of directions on why they're not performing right now, why they've lost 7 in a row. So let's go to the top one, which everybody seems to use as the convenient excuse, which is the manager needs to be fired. And I know a lot of people were bandying that about this weekend. Manager needs to be fired. It's always the manager needs to be fired. It's always the hitting coach needs to be fired. It's always the pitching coach needs to be fired. So let's focus on the manager, first of all. Does he need to be fired? Well, you know, I've kind of been a supporter of Gabe Kapler. Not really because I'm enamored with his managing skills, but I really didn't think anything was significantly his fault until last week. And last week what he did was he allowed something to happen on a baseball field that had no repercussions. Now, I know this isn't Little League. I know this isn't even college and minor league. This is pro baseball, right? But somewhere along the lines of pro baseball, when a player like Gene Segura does not run to first base twice and there are no ramifications for it, all that does is bleed into the clubhouse. Now, he said after the game, I didn't think it was a good idea to bench one of my best players, blah, 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 blah. But that's not really the point. Because if you remember when Charlie Manuel was a manager of the Phillies, he pulled Jimmy Rollins right out of a game. And he did that for a reason. Because he did that to send a message to everybody else. That if you don't do you don't play the game a certain way, there's going to be repercussions for that. So, because he didn't do that, what happens? Cesar Hernandez gets a chance to do it. And see, bleeding into the clubhouse is a bad thing. And it shows a manager doesn't have any control. And that bothers me. The way to manage a baseball team, in the way I've looked at it all these years, you don't really give them hand-to-hand instruction when they get to the major leagues. And a lot of people think that's the case, that a pitching coach can straighten out a pitcher or a hitting coach can straighten out a hitter. That's all BS. When you get to the major leagues, it's a team of 25 guys feeling relaxed and comfortable enough in a clubhouse to go out and play to their best ability. And Charlie Manuel was a master of that. He wasn't a hand-to-hand guy. He would occasionally give you a hitting tip because he was a pretty good analyst of hitting. But basically, he kept a clubhouse calm and relaxed. Those guys came into the clubhouse knowing their manager had their back, knowing that they also had to give what he wanted or there were going to be repercussions. And that's not the case now with Gabe Kapler because he allowed that one thing to happen. So let's look at how good the Phillies are. They don't have enough difference makers. They obviously assembled a team and conned us all into thinking they did. They put together a pretty good offensive lineup. But right now, it has crumbled, and the first crevice was Andrew McCutchen getting hurt. And that has exposed a whole bunch of flaws. As we look around the diamond, the Phillies don't have enough difference makers right now. Bryce Harper is one of the chief examples of a guy who is not playing up to his potential. And they got him and said, we're going to make the lineup all better. Getting him in the lineup makes everybody else better. It hasn't so far. So Bryce Harper's got to take that kind of heat right now. But if you look around the diamond, Rhys Hoskins, okay. The second baseman, not a difference maker. The shortstop, who I liked at first, is now giving me a reason not to like him and giving me a reason to know why he was traded four times in the past 5 years. Or this is four team in the past 5 years. Good players stay with their team. There must be something to Gene Segura that's not quite right. And maybe it's the fact that he occasionally does those kind of things which bring a team down. They have wasted the third base position completely. If you're not going to play Michael Franco, why is he there? He is there what? To get a pinch hit in the seventh inning? You're killing your team at third base. The catcher has underachieved. The left fielder hit a couple home runs, not a difference maker. They have a great hole in center field, and then Harper's not performing. Put it all together, and they stink. So from top to bottom, this Phillies team is falling apart before our eyes, which leads you to the front office and the inactivity that's going on in the front office. Here's the fact of the matter. Scott Kingery has to play second base on an everyday basis. Cesar Hernandez is not a good enough, pizzazz enough player to help your team at that position. Now, you have no choice as shortstop. Segura's got to play shortstop. But you've got to make drastic moves like this now. And you've got to move guys like Franco and Hernandez for whatever you can get. Because these are negative factors on your team. How do they dig themselves out of this? I have no idea how they're going to dig themselves out of this. Are we going to be able to click our fingers and say, oh, these guys are suddenly going to hit? I don't know. It's going to happen. But right now, there's a lot of troubling aspects that the front office has to deal with and make this a complete team. And they need to act now. And they can't afford to wait to the trading deadline because they're going to get buried. The fact that this team has a worse record than the team of last year is astounding to me after what they put together. So we'll kick it around. We'll talk about it. I wasn't here for after the Sixers draft. Had I been here, I would have put on a TV screen a big question mark. Because I frankly am befuddled and I don't understand it. Now, that's not to say that I know that Matisse Thybulle can't play, because I don't know. We'll find that out. All I can go by is intelligence in leading up to a pick like that. And I look at a guy like Matisse Thybulle and I go, okay, he may be a decent enough athlete who looks like he can defend. And if that's the best I got, I don't need to trade up to get that. I don't need to trade up to get a guy who averaged 9 points at Washington in a weak conference like the Pac-12. I could just as well stay at 24, take the best player who was available there, and there were a couple players they could have taken, including maybe Ty Jerome, and then use my second-round picks. Well, Elton Brand collected a couple more second-round picks. I'm scratching my head. I go, he just told us that second round means nothing to him by trading out of the second round, and he acquired two more second round picks. So what good are those picks? If he doesn't like the second round, he didn't take anybody anyway. That's going to make an impact. Then what good are two second round picks the following year? So I'm confused by the Sixers draft. So if you want to talk about that as well, we can talk about that. Here are the numbers to get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic, and we're on NBC Sports Philly, and we're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's 2:17, and it is the Mike Missanelli Show. Glad to be back with you. 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, if you visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today, you can get equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And it's time to start the Twitter poll today. The 2 o'clock hour Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Hello, Natalie.
Hello, Mike. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Today's poll.
I'm all high today now.
I couldn't believe that you said that.
Gummies. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know if you are.
I am.
I'll be able to tell.
If it's the red eye, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. That's what they all say. It's the red eye.
Yep.
All right, we have over 100 votes on this one early. Can the Phillies dig themselves out of this hole? 49% say yes, 51% say no.
Okay.
So it's close.
51% say no, which is interesting. Let's, Tyrone, I want to I want to play the Gabe Kapler instructional sound piece, where this is the method that Gabe is intending to use to get the Phillies to hit better.
Go to work every single day. We don't stay the course, we make adjustments. So we're doing little things to get better. For instance, next week, first couple of days of the Mets series, do some extra work on the field. We'll bring out a curveball machine and we'll bring out a live arm.
Now, bringing out a curveball machine, you know where that works? That works in high school. That's where the curveball machine. So if a manager is saying that publicly, now we're going to do more work. Whatever. The curveball machine. You know what that does to a major league clubhouse? That gives you like the Chip Kelly eye roll that the Eagles used to have, right? So the guy in the clubhouse goes to the guy next to him. You hear what he said? Curveball machine, and that goes. That's Sally down the lane. That goes around like, what's this guy? What major league player? Is he gonna bring out a curveball machine? First of all, it's idiotic to bring out a curveball machine because the essence of a curveball in big leagues is that you don't know that it's coming. So if you put a curveball machine out there, you go, curveball's coming. I can sit there and hit curveballs all day. I know they're coming. Now, that's the kind of thing that maybe indicates to me that he's not connecting with players. Because that's the stupidest thing you can say or do, is to bring out a curveball machine. And then it's like the fake General Patton rhetoric, where he goes, the thing I want to convey most strongly is that we don't panic around here. You know, save that. That doesn't work with players. I'm worried now. I'm worried that there's a detachment between the players and this guy. And so they come in and they're not mentally set to play baseball. That's the only thing I'm thinking about.
He's always been kind of a weird guy, and the fans didn't care for it, and now it's starting to seem like
if
maybe
his players think he's a weird guy, he's got troubles.
Right.
And I didn't think that at first. But it's like he's made the Cardinals mistake of ignoring a non-hustling player and admitting that he can't do without him. So the guy wins twice. And it allows somebody else to do the same thing. All right. Let's get a... like I just said, like the eye roll, the Chip Kelly eye roll. This is the Bryce Harper eye roll as he's asked the question about this.
I'm just trying to answer this. For me, I personally don't do that. I think for everybody else, if they want to do that, then, you know, that's on them. It's everybody gets the ball at 5 o'clock.
He's talking about the extra hitting. He almost laughed there.
He's the curveball machine. What do you think about the curveball machine? That was
He laughed. Extra hitting can't hurt anybody, but the curveball machine is a very curious thing to say publicly and think that your players aren't going to laugh at that. Matt in the Northeast starts things off. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm calling about three individuals, but you brought up Charlie Manuel. Charlie Manuel had one rule, as I understand it. Or two rules.
Was that the Hispanic manager they had hired?
Charlie Manuel.
Oh, Charlie Manuel.
Sorry.
Charlie Manuel had two rules. I thought they had a Hispanic manager for a while, but I got it.
And hustle.
Yeah.
Show up and hustle.
Yeah, he did.
That,
and he made guys accountable. But see, Charlie Manuel, and I was in that clubhouse a lot, made that club, now they had better players, obviously, but Charlie Manuel made that clubhouse feel relaxed.
Comfortable.
Yes, and comfortable, and they knew that he had their back.
Yeah.
This, I don't know what they think about this guy.
Well, I think, like you say, and they said it on TV yesterday, somebody, I think it was Davis, said that he believes he talked to Segura the first time he didn't run the ball out. Well, obviously, he didn't do any damn good.
Talking to a guy afterwards and saying, that's not going to do anything.
You got to lift him.
You do, and you have to lift him in that game.
Right. Let it be known to the bench.
Exactly. And if you have to do without your shortstop, you fill in and you bite the bullet.
Right. Anyway, you got three players on there that got all the talent in the world. Cesar, Odubel, and Mikel Franco. But they lack the discipline.
Yeah, Cesar doesn't have any talent.
Ever be solid major league.
Cesar has no talent.
Well,
and that's why he's
hitting
270. He's a mediocre, non-difference making player. You can shake a tree. 100 Cesar Hernandezes will fall out. You need somebody going to make a difference there. So the only guy that can make a difference, and it's his natural position, is Kingery. So all this fiddle faddle and around, start making some trades now and changing the dynamic of this whole thing. Because you have too many guys in staid positions that aren't going to help you. They killed Franco. Now, I don't know if he can play or not, but they killed him. Flat out killed him. Playing Sean Rodriguez in front of him. Crying out loud. So if you killed him, you can't use him. Move him. Now, you dug this hole. Move him. In the long run, you mixing things up is going to be better than this staid Cesar Hernandez Franco nonsense. Greg in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Thanks, Mike. First time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
On anybody's show, you hit the nail on the head every time you talk today. I agree, but people have to go back to last year. Some of the moves that Gabe Kapler made, they were outrageous. And I'm not.
Yeah, but last year he didn't have a team. So they actually had a better record at this point the last year than they have this year.
I agree. You hit the nail on the head. And
last year he fiddle faddled, Greg, because he had to. He didn't have the talented offensive lineup. These guys are not producing for him. This year. They're a better team on paper. They are not producing offensively.
I agree. He's old school. You got to have discipline. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. I don't know if discipline is the reason why they stink right now or why the play, because I don't want to take the players off the hook. These players are underperforming.
Hey,
That's coaching. That's
I don't know. In the major leagues, I don't think it's coaching. But I'm having a hard time with this balance. Because I put a lot of responsibility in major league players because they take the responsibility. They're not listening to hitting coaches or pitching coaches, right? They're out there on their own. So they're the individual contractor that has to perform. They're not performing. So they have to take a lot of the heat. Now, before you get to the performance part, before you actually take the field, you got to show up in a clubhouse. And if you show up in a clubhouse that's kind of like fractured because you don't know where your manager is, then that could lead out to the feeling you're underachieving. Mostly it's on you, though. So I'm confused today. But for the first time, like this Kapler thing, this fungus that kind of spread when he didn't deal with Segura the right way, and now this curveball machine thing, which is like totally preposterous, I'm thinking that guys in the clubhouse are going, yeah, this guy. You know, like the Chip Kelly. When things started to go bad, this guy. You know, one of those. Which makes you not bring your best mental frame to the actual playing field.
Yeah, this is like the third time where this could have happened. You had Chip, and then in between, apparently, it was happening with the Flyers with Ekstall when he was getting on, you can't eat chicken, and yelling out about chicken wings and stuff like that. And they started rolling their eyes at him about that. It's a pattern where you... Human, I guess it's because of analytics, because Chip was a big analytics guy.
Yeah.
The human part of it is getting left behind somewhere. It looks like more and more the human part of it, where how you get along with people. Why can't you have a Charlie Manuel-esque personality, but also a knowledge of numbers, rather than just a guy who's into numbers and seems to struggle with the human part?
The preposterous thing about this curveball concept, he evidently thinks that they're hemorrhaging offensively because they can't hit the curveball. They're not hitting the fastball. If you go deep into the analytics, they don't hit the fastball. Let me give you some statistics. They ranked 25th this season with a 489 slugging percentage on fastballs in the zone. There are only five teams in baseball that are worse than that. These are fastballs in the zone they're not hitting. This guy's bringing out a curveball machine. In a league where they're hitting more fastballs than ever, it's an increase. The Phillies are lagging behind the increase. I don't know what that is. If you ask a major league player, he would build a shrine and have a Mary statue and kneel in front of it to get fastballs all game long. And they're not hitting them in the zone. I don't know what that is. It's inexplicable. Lenny and Pittman, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lenny.
Hey, Mike. Welcome back.
Thanks, Lenny.
It's good to have you back safely. Actually, I'd like to see another machine trot it out. And it's one that's got a paddle on it. And when the Philly hits the ball, it smacks him in the rear end, so he hustles down the base paths. But I think Gabe has kind of sent the message already. And the message is he blew it with the Segura thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you pull a guy immediately. And then he has his little temper tantrum on the field yesterday, which is supposed to spark your team, and you still lose. I mean, I think he's dug pretty much a hole. I think it's time to can him.
Well, he's not going to get canned. I can tell you that right now, that they're committed to him. They're not going to can him. But Klentak has to keep his ear down there a little bit and get the climate of what his clubhouse is right now and try to figure out whether these guys come in there wanting to be there with this manager.
Once again, Mike, it shows that you could sign high-priced players and it doesn't necessarily mean you bought a championship.
Well, listen, with Harper, I don't understand it. I still think that they're better off with Harper than without, but he's not hitting fastballs like he used to. And I don't know what that's about. I hope it's not a trend. I hope he hasn't peaked. I wouldn't think that's the conclusion that he has peaked. And that's all we're going to get. That's all he is. I don't believe that. So whatever it is that has to break out, I still have faith. Again, he's not hit and blow up the home runs like I thought he would. But I don't worry about, that's a guy I don't worry about. I worry about everything else that's going on. I worry about the center field, left field dynamic, the third base dynamic, the second base guy, the catcher who's not hitting, who's supposed to be a better hitter, the shortstop who is a good hitter who's not hitting. Maybe he needed a kick in the rump.
I'm worried about Harper.
You worried about him?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him. No, I mean, listen, it's stupid for me to say I'm not worried about him because he's underachieving. But at least I know he's a pedigree difference-making player.
Yeah.
That's what I don't worry about. I look around. I don't see pedigree difference-making players.
I agree. But if he was having an MVP season, talk about his level. It was an MVP level. I think the offense would look different.
Maybe. But see, guys, hitting is within their control. No matter who else is in the lineup, hitting for a baseball player is within your control. You step in there, and you got to figure it out.
Yeah, and Reese has had a pretty good year. I think
a quiet, okay year.
He's had a pretty good year. 270, yeah. More home runs than Brian. Yeah. I think he's had a pretty good year. But if you were getting it from him, I think your offense would be better. You win more games.
But right now, they're giving away positions that aren't helping. They're giving away left field. They're giving away center field. They're giving away third base. They have to. The front office has to stir this up and see what it is. Vic in Abington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Vic.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Vic?
Just want to talk about Harper a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
McCutcheon was a big loss because there was a guy that was really playing hard.
Exactly. And it's up to the front office to replace him.
But Harper, his contract is no trade, right?
Yes. Yeah, full no trade.
So they can't trade him, not that anybody would want to trade for him right now.
No, I guarantee you that every team in baseball would want to trade for him if they had the money.
But you were so on the Harper bandwagon in the off season,
mm-hmm.
You would have crucified the Phillies if they didn't sign him.
Yeah.
Now,
In retrospect, what? Are they better off with Bryce Harper playing right field? As a team, if you were putting a team together, would you put together a team without Bryce Harper in right field and somebody else, or Bryce Harper?
Well, it's very possible you could have. Was Christian Yelich available too?
Of course not. Well, he'd be available as an MVP.
Yeah. Hey, well, Harper's supposed to be an MVP.
But Christian Yelich wasn't a free agent? Come on, man. I don't have time for this today. I'm already aggravated. Yeah, Christian Yelich, they should have got him. What do we.
You mean the year before when the Brewers got him?
Well,
he wasn't available.
That's not what he meant.
I know.
But if you wanted to trade for him from the Marlins, when you could have. I think Milwaukee, who'd they give? They gave pretty good prospects.
They gave good prospects. No, they did.
I mean, can't look back now. No. You can't look at the Harper thing as a failure yet, obviously, because you know what he brings. You know that he's a bona fide slugging major league outfielder. And I know he's underachieving, but the Phillies aren't better off without him, okay? So forget the money part of it. The Phillies aren't better off without Bryce Harper. Let's go, John, in Huntington Valley. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, John?
Honestly, I mean, I hate Gabe Kapler with a passion, but on the other end, who are you putting out in the field? I mean, they have no outfielders. He should have benched Segura as soon as that happened. You're right. I don't think anybody in that clubhouse has any respect for Gabe Kapler.
That was the fatal mistake.
Correct. And you can hate a coach as long as you respect them. But if you hate them and don't respect them, you're
absolutely right. The respect part is paramount.
And the other thing is I honestly feel like all the hitting's just all mental. I mean, they're going up to the plate knowing that they have to put runs on the board because their pitching sucks. I mean, if you're a hitter and you know you got to put 8 runs on the board to even have a chance to win a game, you're going to lose.
Well, I think
you're a baseball player. It's nice to know that your starter's going to go out and give you 7 innings and only give up 3 runs and give yourself a chance and let the bullpen blow it if that's the case. But you got no starting pitching, you got no bullpen, and your bats are cold. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be what's in the mind of a hitter when he goes up there. I got to hit a 5-run home run.
Well, that shouldn't be in their mind. But I mean, you're also talking about the Phillies with Gabe Kaplan, who's telling them to take pitches, and he wants them to. Then he's
good at bats.
That,
so yeah, the hitting. Well, you don't like the hitting philosophy. The hitting philosophy is an organizational hitting philosophy, and that's why they have John Mailey there, because his philosophy is put the ball in the air, be selective aggressive, is what he calls it. Which I don't know what that means, be selective aggressive. Listen, sometimes these guys make hitting too complicated. They really do. And it's just up to a major league hitter can't, when he steps in a box, can't be thinking, oh, my pitchers are going to give up a lot of runs, so I got to really get some hits. They don't think that way. I don't know what is making them underachieve offensively. I can't tell you what it is. But I can tell you the hitting is pretty much mental. And you have to have confidence. It's like when you stand over a golf ball. You have to have confidence you can hit it long and straight. You have to stand in that batter's box and know that you have an edge on whatever that guy's going to throw you. Curveball machine. Good Lord. You know, when they invent a machine that can throw the curveball and the fastball and the slider and the changeup, that's the machine that they should have out there. Right. But the machines aren't any good anyway because they're wheel machines. You can't time a wheel machine anyway, which is silly. So they're shooting curveballs out of a wheel machine. You're timing a guy's delivery. I used to go to batting cages that had the iron arm that flashed down. You have a better chance hitting that than you have hitting these wheel machines.
Every baseball player I've spoken to, and I don't talk to major leaguers, say the same thing you just said about these machines. Yet the manager says out loud that any baseball player I know, guys that play rec leagues, I'm saying every baseball guy I know, beer league guys, they all say the same thing. Yet the manager comfortably said that to the media. How are we supposed to take that?
We didn't have a machine in college.
There you go.
I had an old school manager. We're going live pitching, son. That's the only way you hit better is live pitching. Now, major league players, they get 40-foot pitches. They get 40-foot fastballs in batting practice. People go, what about batting practice? Teach them to hit the other way. What do you think they're doing in batting practice? They're hitting the other way. They're hitting them off 40-foot fastballs from coaches, middle-aged coaches. You can't improve in batting practice. I don't know, man. Let's go to Adam in Cherry Hill. Adam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam.
Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Adam?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to talk about more the deadline kind of focus point, like you were mentioning at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the board, and I'm looking at, you know, some of the rumors going on right now around the league. You know, I'm totally on board with you. Kingery needs to play second base. He's proven that he can hit and play, and that's his primary position. And Cesar doesn't do enough in the lineup. But you look around the league, I mean, maybe a guy like Rendon, but the Nats have been kind of getting back in the picture. But there isn't a lot of third base options. Like, I agree with you. If Franco's not playing, he shouldn't be on the team. You should be looking at trade.
And first of all,
there's nobody out there.
The Nats would never trade you Rendon. Never.
Right. It's at, like, the bottom of the list on one of those rumored websites. But I'm saying, like, I don't know anybody out there that can play third base that the Phillies can even go after, especially when I think their priority, especially getting a fifth starter, and bullpen help when you're talking about like 6 of the original 8 guys being on the injured list from the bullpen. Like, I don't know if they even have potential options on other teams to get to improve this team right now outside of coaching and all of that issues right now.
Listen, you're going to have to live with Franco, okay? And I know they hate it, but they're if you're not playing a guy, you're wasting a roster spot.
Oh, I'm a fan of Franco. I'm not a fan of him
because he's a knucklehead and he never learns. But at least, like, if you give him regular time, he may hit you a couple home runs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why I'm a fan of him, because what they're putting out there right now isn't game-changing stuff.
It's ridiculous. They're using guys like Sean Rodriguez. Listen, God bless his little heart that he's in the major leagues getting a paycheck and he got his pension. He doesn't belong in the major leagues starting a couple days old. In a row.
His beard is gray. He shouldn't be in the league.
I see. See, Moustakas was available last year, and they want to put all their chips in for Harper, and they can get Moustakas, right? But they were leery of Franco the whole time. They're telling Franco by their body language. They're telling the kid they're leery of him. How's that kid supposed to play with any confidence at all?
And he goes to a slump, fine, and they don't replace him, like you say, with a trade. They find a guy who doesn't belong in the major leagues and say, all right, Franco, even though we're going to get a guy worse than you, we're going to play him.
How long have I said, when that happened with McCutchen, what did I say? That they have to now go out and trade for our AA center fielder. Now, not trading that. Now you trade for a center fielder. You put yourself in a spot. It may cost you a lot. But you're giving the season away now with this nonsense. You're all discombobulated. You don't know who to play in center field. You don't know who to lead off. You don't know who to put in the three hole. You're showing your team desperation by leading Harper off. The whole thing's messed up. You need somebody who can calm the waters. This guy's stirring more of the Rust Belt water. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
3:47, Mike Missinelli Show. I'm aggravated today. The longer the show goes on. I'm sorry I missed the Friday, because I would have been aggravated Friday, too, after the Sixers draft. Tyrone, you're not aggravated, which is really interesting. So let's spar a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's my question to you.
Yes.
Is Matisse Thybulle a good enough player that you would move up and help a conference opponent, or is it better to stay at 24?
I think that if he's your guy and you scout mm-hmm. a guy, which I didn't, and you do your workouts mm-hmm. and you scout him, you don't worry about mm-hmm. who you're trading with to get him. You go get your guy.
Get your guy.
That's what I think.
Okay, the value of what he is. Is it better than just staying at 24?
We have to wait and see. I'm saying
on the surface, what's your feel?
On the surface of it, I'm still okay with it if that's their guy. If that's, you have to be right. Okay. You can't be wrong.
And I'm not saying I know any more basketball than Elton Brand or any members of his staff. But I have issues with moving up to take a guy who couldn't score in college and think he's going to score in the NBA. This defense is nice, wingspan, great defender, playing his own. Zaire Smith, same thing. How about if you give me somebody who can score the frickin' basketball? How about that? Because 9 points in the Pac-12 isn't good enough for me to move up a couple of spots and squander the complete second round of my draft.
The one thing I would have taken, I said I would have taken at 34, I would have taken a player. I wouldn't have gotten rid of 34. I would have taken a player at 34. That was the thing.
You would have taken Bruno Fernando?
Not necessarily him, because I think there's a reason he was a second-round center. Mm-hmm. But I would have taken a player. It might have been Pascal. I would have taken a player at 34. Huh? That I did say.
But they got two second-round picks. Future second-round picks. If Elton Brand told you the second-round means squata to him, but he acquired two more second-round picks.
Yeah, I asked him, and he said that he didn't want the young developing guys this year. And he said it'll all make sense soon. So I'm trying to wait.
Is there a better crop of second rounders coming out next year?
I think he feels like once he gets his roster solidified with veterans, then he can add on in future years developmental guys. But he didn't want too many developmental guys. Or he said flat out he did not want developmental guys around. Now, that doesn't mean he's right. That's what he said.
I hope this works out for the Sixers, and I hope Matisse Thybulle can play in the NBA. but I'm going to tell you flat out, I am not taking a guy who played 4 years in a weak conference and couldn't average double figures. That's a guy who can't score. So I would moving up and giving Boston Carson Edwards, nah, didn't like it.
Yeah, I asked him about that too. He said no regrets.
Oh, good. I'm glad he has no regrets. We'll see. He could be right. I could be wrong. I'm just telling you what my mindset would be. 9 points, Washington? You played 4 years? Come on. And I'm going to bring you in the NBA, and you're going to score in this league?
I don't think he can create shots. The question is, can he make open shots? And I think he can develop to make spot-up shots. I don't think he's going to create much, though. It's not. I don't think it's his DNA to create.
I think so. I don't know where that indication would be. Well, because scoring 9 points in the Pac-12.
Because of how well he shoots from fouls. You got to project a certain amount.
That's right. He shoots 80% plus from the free throw.
So that tells me that I think that you may be able to shoot open shots in the NBA.
How many open shots do you think he got in the Pac-12?
Not many.
Not many?
I don't know.
How could you not get an open shot in the Pac-12?
They don't
balls out defend.
Some of those teams played good defense.
Stop it.
UCLA played good defense.
UCLA stinks.
They weren't great. Some of those teams played defense.
Jeff in Levittown. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, I'm an old head like yourself. I have an answer, but it seems like I can't get through this this generation. Mike, they got to throw the analytics and get rid of it. Get rid of the analytics, just like Peter's, just like Jeff Lurie did with Chip Kelly, and within a year and a half, won a Super Bowl. Well, guess what? Gabe Kapler, the only reason he got hired.
First of all, time out. Like, how are analytics hurting the Phillies?
Okay.
How are analytics making guys not hit?
Oh, Mike, come on, the way they swing the bat. You know that.
No. But connect the dots for me, Jeff. I'm giving you a chance.
Right.
You said you got to get rid of analytics. How are analytics at fault here and making those guys not hit?
Mike, give me a chance.
All right.
The launch angle, things like that. The way they swing, it's an uppercut. Mm-hmm.
The launch angle is professed by every team in Major League Baseball. Most of them have success because the home runs are up all over America except in Philadelphia.
Mike, remember Whitey Herzog?
Yeah, I remember Whitey
Herzog. Okay, Whitey Herzog would have a field day coaching against any of these managers today.
Yeah, see, I don't know if we want to go old school and Bob Cousy dribbled the ball like this. And, you know, I can't have that conversation anymore. Analytics are not what's stopping guys from hitting. Now, I understand, like, working a count is a good thing. Because working a count gets you a hittable pitch. In theory, that's not outlandish, crazy analytics. That's fundamental analytics. So that's not the problem. The launch angle seems to work for everybody else. You hit the ball out of the park these days. Baseball changes. You don't play small ball anymore. Nobody plays small ball. Nobody bunts. Nobody steals bases. You hit home runs. Parks are smaller. They accommodate home runs. These guys aren't making contact for whatever reason. The only thing it could be is in their head, they don't believe they can hit. Now, to find a reason why that happens, I don't know. I'd have to have a psychologist on the show. And we don't have any readily available. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.